Hebrews chapter 12. I don't know how many times I've preached from this passage, just one that just keeps coming back. Amen. And thank the Lord that we're able to know that God does a great work. And the kingdom that is mentioned here, Brother Mike taught a great lesson in Sunday school and let us know it's open to everybody. We don't close the door to anybody. Amen. Everybody comes into the kingdom the same way. Thank God. Born of the water, born of the Spirit. Amen. I was amazed to hear a report of deaf and mute people receiving the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in tongues. How can they speak if they're mute? They do. They do. Amen. And in Florida, they had four of them sitting on the front row, and every one of them received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And then I saw a video at a general conference, and at general conference, they have a baptismal tank set up, and while service is going on, they're baptizing people. Praise God. And they baptized a deaf mute. And they took the microphone over to him and let everybody hear him speaking in tongues. Praise God. Hallelujah. The kingdom is open to everybody. Hallelujah. And thank God, everybody can be changed by repentance. Everybody can be baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Everybody can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Now, Hebrews 12, verse 28. I will read verse 28. You will read verse 29, okay? Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. A consuming fire. He's a fire, but he's a consuming fire. Praise God. I gave you water bottles last Sunday. I was trying to figure out how to give you fire. I didn't signal for the fan to go on because I'm trying to make you warm. Go ahead and turn the fan on. But our God, a consuming fire. I'm so thankful we don't have a wildfire going on right now. There's a few around the state, but thank God we've been spared so far. And hopefully that's not going to be a problem here, especially as camp is coming up. We don't want anything to interfere. So we covet your prayers in that area. Amen. The Lord bless you. You can be seated. The Lord can use anything. We know he used a donkey. He said the stones can cry out. I read the portion that I'm going to share with you about John the Baptist and how John kind of deflated the balloons of those who were so proud that they were sons of Abraham. The Lord said, God can raise up stones. These stones right here, he can raise up to be sons of Abraham. Praise God. The Lord uses so many things to bring about his glory and to show his power. And obviously fire. Fire being one of those to show his presence. When Moses saw that bush, and you've got to remember, Moses was away from, if we can call it, his home tent, and he's out camping with the sheep. He's moving them from pasture to pasture, you know, and water hole to water hole, and so on. And so he's got to have a tent that's fairly small, and something that he can load probably on his donkey or whatever, and move. And he's used to kindling fire. That's how he cooked his food. That's how he stayed warm. In the desert nights that can cool down real fast. And so he knows about fire. He knows he's probably seen lightning fires and probably saw other cooking fires of other shepherds and so on. And so when he sees this burning bush, and it's up on a mountain, it's not down in the valley, not down in a gully, it's up on the mountain, it's very visible. And he says, I'm going to turn aside and see what's going on here. Why is that bush burning and not extinguishing? Why isn't it dying down? So when he drew near, we know he heard the voice of God. There are times that you just have got to quit what you're doing in terms of day-to-day, those responsibilities, those things that you got to do, and you got to turn aside and say, God, I need to hear from you. God, I've got to hear from you. Lord, I need to know what you're saying to me. Amen. We get so caught up. We get so involved. That's good. Praise God. Stay busy. If the Bible says if a man won't work, neither should he eat. That's a pretty good connection. So we recognize, okay, I have these responsibilities. I've got these things that I've got to do. I can't expect an angel to come in and clean my house and take care of my car and all the things we've got to do. I've got to make sure I'm doing my part. But Moses turned aside to see what was going on, and he heard the voice of God. Amen. I hope we don't ignore those times, you know, when we just feel a drawing aside. It didn't say that Moses spent all day there. It didn't say that Moses was there all night long. The conversation, as recorded in Exodus 3, was, you know, maybe all of it wasn't recorded, but enough of it there to maybe be half an hour. But, you know, take time to draw nigh to the Lord, amen, and let God do a work in your life, a work of revelation. I am that I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, man, what a powerful revelation. And I like the way I'm reading through the NLT, the Bible in a year. And every time there's an I am from the book of John, I am, it makes reference back to Exodus 3:14. I like the way they're making that connection, because that's who Jesus is. He's the one speaking out of the bush. He's the one directing Moses. He's the one delivering Israel. He's the one bringing forth the miracles and the display of his power. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. And that pillar of fire that appeared at night, when all of the worries and concerns could have been concentrated upon the people of Israel. They don't have their flocks now. Their children are in their beds, and they've got time to worry. They've got time to be anxious. They've got time to be upset. All they had to do was look out their tent flap, and there's that pillar of fire. Praise God. And the power of the Lord is there to minister to them. And the hand of God is there. And then it changed to a cloud. If it required getting up early, I'd have got up early. I want to see that change from fire to a cloud. Praise God. And then when the sun is setting, I want to see it change from a cloud to a fire. Praise God. Oh my, our God is great. Oh, our God can do good things. Oh, God can assure you that he's not going to leave you nor forsake you. He's going to be there through your problems. He's going to be there through your questions. He's going to be there through the things you don't understand. And you don't know how it's going to work out. But my God is there to provide his power, to provide his strength, and to let you know my presence is not going to leave you. My presence is going to be with you. My power is going to be displayed for you. Oh, give praise to the Lord right now. Hey, I keep coming on the board. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Many, many instances of fire in the scripture. Leviticus chapter 9, you know, we wade through Leviticus, all of the sacrifices, all of the feasts, all of the requirements, all of this stuff. I look for, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's in there four times. I look for Leviticus 9 and know there's an answer by fire upon the sacrifice. The glory of the Lord appeared at the end of Leviticus 9. Fire came and consumed the sacrifice. Praise God. What an experience for them to know and understand. Because this is when the pillar of fire is still there. The pillar of cloud is still there. They're still knowing the power and the blessings of God. And so when that fire came and consumed the sacrifice, the Bible says the people shouted and fell on their faces before the Lord. Praise God. How incredible. How sensational. How amazing for this to happen. But then the very next chapter, the beginning of chapter 10. How could Nadab and Abihu feel like they could play with the things of God? They knew the right way to bring fire in their censers. They knew the requirement not to have strange fire. But here they go, strange fire in their censers, feeling like it doesn't matter. It doesn't. I can do it this way if I want to. God's going to understand. Oh, God's grace is going to take. No, fire came down and destroyed Nadab and Abihu. It did. Just as fire came upon the sacrifices, the judgment of God came upon those two men who stepped out of the direction that God had given, feeling like whatever they were feeling, I don't know, maybe like Cain, thinking, my sacrifice is just as good as your sacrifice, Abel. I've got nice vegetables. I've got juicy fruit. I've got all of this stuff. That's a good sacrifice. Maybe they thought it was all okay to offer strange fire, but fire came down and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Oh, God, help us. Help us to understand. We don't have leeway to change what the Word of God says. We don't have leeway to change how God makes His requirements. There's a consuming fire of judgment. John the Baptist, as he's talking to crowds around the Jordan River, taught lessons about fire. And he mentions fire those several times there. When he spoke of the harvest, he said, you're going to gather wheat, but the chaff is going to be burned with unquenchable fire. He's talking about a natural process, but he's applying it to a spiritual. God, help us not to be chaff. Help us not to be waste, not to just, you know, be something that's expendable. And he mentions that in verse 12. In verse 10, he talks about the unfruitful tree being chopped down. Unfruitful, not productive. It's chopped down and it's thrown into the fire. So three times he would mention fire. And the third time he mentioned it is a promise from the Lord. He talked about one coming after him who is mightier. Praise God. I'm thankful we know He is the Almighty. And He is the one who is able to perform all things. And John would declare, He's mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that that prophecy came to pass. It happened about 3 years later. But thank God, those who waited for it, those who looked for it, those who grabbed a hold of the promises would know it is worth it. Praise God. Jesus talked about hellfire. In Luke 16, he tells the story of a rich man who ended up in hell, and Lazarus, a poor man who ended up with Abraham. The circumstances were completely changed from being rich to being poor, and from being poor to being in the place of blessing and the power of God. What also changed was the attitude of that rich man. The attitude that feeling like I'm self-sufficient, I can pay for anything I want. I can do whatever I want. I can pay off the officials. I can do, you know, I can bribe my way out of trouble. Whatever was going on, whatever corruption that he was dealing with, he and his brothers could live in lavish lifestyle and enjoy their wealth. Well, it changed. It changed. Death is a common denominator. And now in hell, he lifted up his eyes in torment. And he pleaded for a drop of water from Lazarus. And then his prayer changed to send Lazarus back to be a witness to his brothers. I have five brothers, he said, and I need for them to know not to come to this place, not to end up here. Let their lives be changed. Let a message go forth. Let them hear something. Let them see something like a resurrection of Lazarus and know that they need to change so they don't come to this place. But that change came too late, and he's tormented in that place, and it's a horrible story. It's a difficult time, but it's a warning to us. Don't play around with your walk with God. Don't just go the way of the world and seek out things that are going to satisfy for the moment, but look at eternity. And what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? We can't gamble like that. We can't play with our eternal destiny. There's got to be the awareness of what God wants to do in our lives. I know there are mockers. I know that there are laughers and scorners who would question, where is hell? Can you tell me where hell is located? It's real easy to tell you where hell is. Hell is at the end of a godless life. Hell is at the end of a life that is lived for self. Hell is at the end of a life that has just gone on its own way and through scripture and preaching and warning to the wind. That's where hell is. And oh, God, help us, because hell was not prepared for you. The Bible tells us it's made for the devil and his angels. You look again at Matthew 25, 41. Not for your own satisfaction, not for your own comfort and awareness, but also to point out to the devil when he comes with his lies, when he comes with his deceit, when he comes with his persecution, when he comes with all of the pressure that he wants to put on you. You just say, hey, devil, have you read Matthew 25, 41 lately? That's where you're going. Praise God. Thank the Lord that we can put our trust in God and know that there's even blessings of a consuming fire. How can there be blessings of a consuming fire? Well, you remember those three young Hebrews. They were thrown bound into the fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter. Man, things can get hot, can't they? Things can get worse than you've ever experienced. Things can become overwhelming, and you feel like, how in the world am I going to get out of this? But that's God's plan, because the only thing that burned was their bonds. The only thing that was burned up was what kept them tied up. Praise God. And oh, I'm thankful the Lord can get us into a liberty, can bring us into a freedom, can bring us into an experience where we know he has set us free. He has brought deliverance. Isaiah 48 and 10, behold, the Lord says, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Oh, thank God that he's not there to persecute. He's not there to hurt. He's not there to harm. He's not there to see how much you can take. He's bringing you into a freedom. He's bringing you into a liberty. He's bringing you into a place where you can say, I've walked through the fire and I've not been burned, because my God has been there to provide his touch and his blessing. Thank the Lord for his goodness and his power. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, thank the Lord that John would hold forth that prophecy and the Lord would fulfill it. Praise God. He declared, I am come to send fire on the earth. Now, we might consider that to be almost literal. and to be a situation where there's going to be destruction, there's judgment, and so on. But remember, it's also the fire of His Spirit. It's also the fire of His goodness. Now, the Lord did use water as a type of the Spirit because water penetrates, water saturates, water will go everywhere. It would seem as though that would be an apt application of the Spirit of God, that it will touch everybody. It will touch everything. Praise God. And the type of the Spirit as a fire is to bring about change. Change. I'm still amazed when I drive out what we call Sterling Flats, where that wildfire was. I just have to shake my head at the changes that are out there. It's slowly turning green again. The moss has it orange, but it's interesting to see that that destruction was so widespread. It was so amazing, and the fire that was there. Oh God, bring changes in us in that manner. Bring changes in us, that things that need to be destroyed, things that need to be taken away, things that need to be removed, bonds that need to be loosed. Praise God, we can move into the realm of the power of God and the blessings of the Lord that was there. When the church was born in a blaze on the day of Pentecost, I wonder what the headline was in the Jerusalem Times. I wonder what media was reporting there. 3,000 sightseers singed by a spirit fire. I should be the editor of that paper, shouldn't I? Praise God. And oh my, I'm thankful that the Lord included more and more. This is a kingdom that includes everybody. Amen. Thank God that the Lord chose Pentecost to pour out His Spirit because there were thousands of visitors in Jerusalem at that time to celebrate that feast. Amen. The Lord doesn't just go haphazard, you know, and roll the dice and say, oh, that'd be good. Let's try that. No, He's got a plan. He knows how He wants it to work. He knows how it's going to be fulfilled. So thousands of people in Jerusalem at that time, and thousands of people coming to see what's going on. What's happening here anyway? How come we hear them speaking in our languages the wonderful works of God? And then 3,000 more being added to that wonderful outpouring of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And the power of the Lord. And then we go on to Samaria in Acts chapter 8. We go on to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Everybody included in the kingdom. We have a kingdom which cannot be moved. Things are being shaken. But the things that cannot be shaken, praise God, are going to remain. Cornelius and Peter both seeing visions, the Lord working on both sides in a powerful way. See, you're looking for a Bible study. You're praying, God, open the door for a Bible study. God's preparing a heart on the other side. Amen. God's working already on somebody's heart and putting a hunger there so that you can sit down with them and share with them the Word of God. It's already happening. You got to believe it. You got to step into it. Praise God, and know that the Lord is doing a work. Cornelius and his household being filled with the Holy Ghost, being baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord. In Acts chapter 11, Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning. He told him every step. He told him every situation. He told him about the vision. He's up on the rooftop. He told him the Spirit of God said, there are three men seeking you, and go with them doubting nothing. The Lord knows we doubt. The Lord knows we struggle with that. And so He specifically said, go with them, Peter, and don't doubt. And Peter rehearsed it to them. He said, the Spirit bade me go with them, doubting nothing. And then he heard the vision of Cornelius, and he began to tell them about the Lord. And the Holy Ghost fell on them, he said, as on us at the beginning. There's a consistency that's going to be there. And we've seen that consistency as God did a work and the power of the Lord that came forth. Tongues of fire? Maybe not. But they did hear them speak with tongues. They did hear them glorify God. Hallelujah. And Peter said, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? Oh, thank the Lord. Believing means receiving. And not just once. Not just a memorial that you have back then that you received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. But oh, believing and receiving on and on and over and again. Thank God that the Lord will renew, the Lord will restore, the Lord will bless with his power and his goodness. Amen. Now, the writer used Hebrews 12 and 28, 29, from Deuteronomy 4 and 24. Where Moses was emphasizing this covenant. You've got this covenant. And he said, God is a consuming fire and God is a jealous God. Jealous God? Isn't jealousy bad? And isn't jealousy a work of the flesh? He's using it to help us understand that the Lord called you to himself so that he could claim you as his people. And he will be your God. He said, I will be your father. You will be my sons and daughters. It's special. It's a relationship. Praise God. And he doesn't want that to get scattered around to other allegiances, to other loyalties, to other interests that are not going to be helpful to you spiritually. That's what it means about being a jealous God. And there's even, we've got to teach about this, preach about this sometimes, Brother Mike, because there's even a time when it's a capital J. I mean, God's serious about it. I don't want you going around somewhere else. I don't want you flirting with the world. I don't want you going and being unfaithful to me and spiritual adultery and infidelity and so on. God's serious about it. That's why it's called a consuming fire. Amen. God help us to understand there's blessings that the Lord has provided for us in a new covenant, a covenant of grace. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Amen. That's what the writer is trying to get across. That's what the writer is trying to help us to understand, that God has invited us into a new covenant. Praise God. And the power of the Lord will bring us into the blessings that he's provided for us. Let's stay true to that new covenant. Let's stay true to that relationship in the Lord. Let's continue our walk with God the way that he wants us to walk with him. Amen. And then Deuteronomy 9 and 3 talks about the enemies facing the consuming fire of God. Amen. Didn't matter if they were giants. Consuming fire of God's going to take care of them. And that's what God can do for you. That's how God can protect you. That's how God can bless you. Keep going in that new covenant, this kingdom that the Lord has brought us into. Now, fire would fall on the altar. Fire fell for Abraham. Fire fell for Moses and Aaron. Fire fell for Gideon, for David, for Solomon, for Elijah. On and on. Praise God. The power of the Lord is there. I'm thankful that we can know that God answers by fire. And oh my, what a fire in Elijah's experience. The whole thing burned up. Dust and stones and all. What an amazing thing. Oh my. Don't you know those folks' eyes got bigger and bigger? And they couldn't help but cry out, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Hallelujah. And then God answered with rain. Oh, our God can do it all. Our God can provide it all. Our God can minister it all. Hallelujah. Amen. And we make ourselves a living sacrifice. Why make yourself a living sacrifice? The Bible tells us to do that. Wherefore, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why? He just told us the mercies of God, your reasonable service. Praise God. A living sacrifice so that he can consume it. There are things of self that have got to be consumed. self that wants to go its own direction and follow its own desires, bring about its own affections and tastes. Self that will lead you away from the Spirit of God. Consume it in fire, Lord. Consume it. Amen. Sin that does so easily beset us. You read that in the scripture? Yeah. Beginning of the chapter 12. Lay aside the weights and the sin that does so easily beset us. There are things that just creep in so easily. That's got to be consumed by the fire of God. That's got to be consumed to where you can walk with the Lord and know His power and His blessing. Now, Satan has been deceiving a long time. 6,000 years experience, and who knows what happened before that. Deceiving a third of the angels. He's really good at it. He's far better than you are at resisting it. Yes, he is. And so that consuming fire has got to burn up Satan's schemes. It's got to reveal it and what's going on, what's happening, what the devil's doing. And then it's got to come on and consume it. Praise God. As you ask the Lord, God, I need your consuming fire. Lord, take care of myself. Take care of my sin. Take care of this old stinking devil. God, I pray that you would help me and move me into that realm and the blessings of God that are there. Praise God. And the devil doesn't quit, so we don't quit. Praise God. We keep moving forward and keep being blessed because we have a kingdom which cannot be moved. Hallelujah. Praise God. And oh, I'm so thankful that wherever there's a kingdom, there's a king. Amen. And the Bible tells us where the word of a king is, there is power. Our king has power. Our king has blessing. Our king has the ability to do the work. Amen. He'll shake things so that the things that remain will be shown that this is solid. This is stable. This is established. That's where you need to be. That's where you need to stand. That's where you need to plant your feet. And the things that can't be shaken will be shaken. But praise God, we can stand upon the Lord and upon His word. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we have grace to serve Him acceptably. Amen. Not measured by us, not measured by society, not measured by an organization, measured by the Lord. Amen. Acceptably. That's your reasonable service. Praise God. So we want Him to consume us. Praise God. Let's get back to that bonds burned by the fire again. Did Peter go through some stuff? Did Peter have some ups and downs? Did Peter end up eating a sandal sandwich many times? Yeah, he did. That's why he can say, your trials are designed to bring a purity in you. It's a purifying situation that's happening in your life. He said, your faith is going to be tried with fire, and it's going to come forth like gold. Praise God. He said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Oh, my. Sometimes, you know, here's what we think sometimes. God, and I do too, same boat as you. I feel like, God, this is more than I can stand. This is more than I can bear. You're putting too much on me, God. But what I've got to see is that God is trying to bring me into a greater freedom. God is trying to loose some bonds from me. God is trying to get me to walk. Woo, walk stronger in His Spirit. God is trying to get me to have more freedom in His power and His blessing. Praise God. And to move me into the realm, His goodness is going to be displayed in an even greater measure. The king was astonished. Didn't we throw three men into the furnace? How come I see four loose and walking. Hallelujah. Oh, there are going to be those who will see you come through the fire. There will be those who will know you've been through it all. And they'll wonder, how in the world are you walking yet? How in the world are you serving that God yet? How are you still being faithful to Him? And you're going to be able to say, the Lord burned up some things in my life. The Lord burned up the things that were holding me back. The Lord burned up the things that were keeping me captive. And I'm able to walk in the liberty that He's provided for me now. I'm able to walk in the power that He desires to display. I'm able to do the things that He's called me to do and that He desires me to do in the power of His Spirit. Hallelujah. Take that, devil, you stinking thing. Thank God for the power of the Lord to move in our realms. Hallelujah. And the blessing of His Spirit to lift us up, because where the word of a king is, there is power. Hallelujah. Stand with me now, please. Oh, great God, I praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lord. So the devil comes with his lies. Here he comes. You're not going to get better. It's not going to work out. Your prayer's not going to be answered. God doesn't care if you fast. Oh, it doesn't matter if you're faithful. You don't have to go to church. You can listen to it online. God bless those who are online. We're glad you're here. But how much better to be here in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I've been touched when I've watched different things, but oh, I feel so much better here with you. Thank God. Amen. But the devil with his lies doesn't quit, doesn't give up. And so the fire gets hotter. The temperature has increased. Situation seems kind of drastic. But look at what God's doing. Look at what God's providing. Look at what God is ministering to. Hallelujah. And let's see and let's hear His voice speaking out of the fire. Praise God. Let's turn aside and move into that realm where, God, I'm walking in your light. God, I'm staying true to your word. Hallelujah. And the Lord speaks. And the Lord says. And the Lord provides. And the Lord ministers. Praise God. And you're there just soaking it up. Hallelujah. Because that's the power to walk in a freedom and a liberty that the Lord has in store for you. Oh, let's love Him together again. Come and pray. Can we come and pray? Oh, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come and sit in the front pew if that works for you. Stand at the altar, whatever. Sit on the altar, whatever you need to do. We need to pray. We need to pray. Amen, amen.